Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello again, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Burning Hearts, usually with Rachel Herbeck, but this week you have a substitute host, and my name is Elizabeth Repka. And I failed in the previous 2 days to say anything about myself, but I work with Rachel at Renewal Ministries. I am the media director there, so very frequently in fact, 99.9% of the time, I am behind the camera and, you know, Steve Clark is producing in the other room. He's behind the scenes. That's usually where I get to be. So it's a fun little adventure for me to step out of my comfort zone and do this, be in front of the microphone and join all of you. So it's been a pleasure to be with you so far this week. We've got a few more days together and we have been looking at John chapter 11 this week and the story of the raising of Lazarus. So we've gotten through a few verses here so far, you know, basically verse 7 or 8. In our conversation, and Rachel will dig into a verse, you know, and just one verse for 15 minutes. I move a little bit faster than that. I'll do like several verses, right? Hopefully we can get to the end of this story this week. But yesterday we talked a bit about this reality of waiting that, you know, Jesus says very clearly that he loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And because of that love, he waits to go do anything. He waits till Lazarus dies. And, you know, if we look at the whole of human history, mankind fell in the Garden of Eden, and God then also waited. He waited for a very long time till we were good and stuck in the muck of our sin, right? And so that's where we left off yesterday. And I want to jump ahead here to verses 14 and 15. So then, well, just to share a little bit about what happened here before this. So, you know, he's going a little back and forth with the disciples here who are like, Jesus, what are we thinking here? Like, first of all, your friend is dying and now you want to wait and now you want to go and people want to kill you where you want to go. Are you sure you really want to do that? And they're having a conversation about walking in the darkness and in light and all this stuff. And he says that Lazarus, our friend Lazarus, is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him, which we talked a little bit about on Monday. And then the disciples are yet again confused and they're like, well, if he's just sleeping, then he'll wake up. It'll be fine. And so there's a little bit of an interchange before these verses where the disciples are asking a lot of questions and are a little bit confused. And so at this point in verse 14, Jesus is clarifying this. So he says, or verse 14 says, so then Jesus said to them, clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So this is kind of picking up a bit on what we were talking about yesterday with the waiting. You know, again, if we were in doubt before that it was somehow good that Jesus said, oh, my friend is dying, I'm going to not go help, I'm going to wait. If we were in doubt that it was good to be waiting and to not take action, we're getting this reaffirmed here now in verses 14 and 15. I'm glad that I was not there. So Jesus is really driving this home. So we need to take this to heart. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about how hard it is to wait on the Lord in hardship. And so that this is can be a challenging word. Like, God is doubling down that this is good. And so if that pricks your heart a little bit, if that is hard for you to swallow, like, I'd invite you to pray with that a bit and just invite the Lord to speak into that for you. But he gives us some clarity here. The reason that this is good is because of belief. I'm glad that I was not there that you may believe. And so all that waiting, all of that salvation history that we talked about yesterday, bloody, gory, turning their backs, wars, exile, all of that, that was about waiting until the incarnation, the fullness of time, so that we may believe. If you haven't been with us the past few days, we've kind of been just looking at this as an archetype of salvation history. So this is another example of that. All of that time had a purpose, and that purpose was belief. God wants to bring about faith in our hearts. He wants to give us the gift of faith. because that's salvific. Believing in the one that the God the Father has sent, believing in Jesus Christ is saving. It's a saving thing. We must have faith. It's required. And so all of that time, all of that waiting, all of that effort was so that we may believe. Let's keep reading here. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." All right, so all of these verses, right? How many times did we hear about belief here? Jesus is really teaching Martha, Mary, us, that belief matters. That, and not belief in just anything, belief that he is the resurrection and the life. Belief that he is the one who is the savior of the world. He says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. This belief in him is so critical for our salvation, for that transformation of our minds and hearts that we talked about yesterday. I want to just really quick here, look again at verse 17, the very beginning of what we just read. Because this is one of those little verses that, you know, as I mentioned the past few days, this reading really hit me so hard in Lent this year. And this is one of the verses that hit me very hard. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And, you know, this is not an authoritative church teaching. This is Elizabeth's prayerful reflection. But, you know, we hear about typology sometimes and we're learning about theology or studying scripture and how there's Old Testament types of New Testament realities, right? Like the parting of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Red Sea is a type of baptism because the people were staring down death, facing death from the Egyptians, and they passed through water, and that was a saving reality, right? So it prefigures baptism. It's a type of baptism. And I haven't done any study on this. I'm not going to definitively declare that this is a type of anything. But I read that, you know, he's already been in the tomb for 4 days. And it felt like a type of, for me, like we've been talking this whole week about this. The story is an archetype of salvation history, and those 4 days feel like a type of those thousands of years, right? By the time Jesus comes, humanity has been in the tomb for a lot longer than 4 days. You know, we don't know the exact time. You know, some people say 4,000 years, some people say a lot longer than that. But humanity had been good and dead in their sins by this point, by the time the Messiah arrives. And our situation was more hopeless or just as hopeless as Lazarus is. It's like everyone is like, yeah, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. Now he's dead. Now there's nothing that we can do. Martha's like, yeah, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead at the end, but that doesn't answer this moment right now. And, you know, death is very final. There's not coming back from death. Except in some very rare instances, you know, where the Lord actually performs a miracle like he does here. But this is a type of the death that we are all in because of our sin. And that 4 days was, you know, the reason I've heard people preach about this, the reason they say 4 days is in the ancient world, that was the point at which decay has really set in. So it's like the body is decomposing. It's over. And so it's really to bring home the finality of death and to say there's no going back from this. And for us, we were in the same state because of our sins. We were dead. We had no hope of life. We could not save ourselves. We couldn't turn the ship around. And we needed a miraculous intervention in order to be saved. And like we talked about on Monday, Jesus looks into that situation and says, "My friends are asleep, but I am going to awaken him." And so just like Lazarus, Jesus looks at us good and dead in our sins and says, "I am going to awaken you. I am going to bring you back to life." And later, we're not there, but in verse 43, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, inviting Lazarus to come out. And I think of that, like Jesus cries out aloud. He cries aloud from the cross as he is dying to atone for our sins, as he is paying the ultimate price, as he's taking on that penalty for sin that we could not pay. It was an infinite penalty that we could never have paid. You know, we hear that parable where the servant owes this debt to his master, and it's many, many lifetimes wages, and it's an impossible debt. And it's the same with us. The debt we owe because of sin is an impossible debt because it's an infinite debt incurred against an infinite God. We could not pay that price. And from the cross, as Jesus is paying that price, he cries aloud. And here he cries aloud at the tomb of Lazarus to invite him to come out. And Jesus cries aloud from the cross. And this cry from the heart of God is an invitation to follow him and to follow him in his death so as to be raised again to new life in him. And this is the reality for all of us, brothers and sisters. Jesus came from heaven to stare at a closed, sealed tomb where we had begun to decay, where we were past the point of saving, and he saved us. So we're going to continue to look a little bit more at this as we go on for the rest of this week, but let's conclude today in prayer and just invite the Lord to assist us as we reflect on this word together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for all of salvation history and the way that you have marvelously knit together a tapestry of this entire reality of your work of saving us. You prepared the way. You opened the way. You taught us through thousands of years about what you intended to do. You taught us through the parting of the Red Sea. You taught us through the Exodus. You taught us through the work of Moses. You taught us through the Ten Commandments and the time in the desert. And you're teaching us now. But you were preparing a way, Lord, and we thank you for preparing a way. We thank you for all that you've done. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to believe in what you have done, to believe in you, and to entrust our lives more to you each and every day. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.